Diversity, diversity, diversity.
Yes, of course, confusion. Oh, trash is more on.
These rules become even more important. Without them, we risk becoming an island of strangers, not a nation that walks forward together. So when you have an immigration system that seems almost designed to commit abuse, that encourages some businesses to bring in lower paid workers rather than invest in our young people, or simply one that is sold by politicians to the British people on an entirely false premise, then you're not championing growth. You're not championing justice or however else people defend the status quo. You're actually contributing to the forces that are slowly pulling our country apart.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, hello, hello. I'm quite into the Starbot edits. I'm digging his defiance. His defiance is so incredible. You know, when I saw that Daily Mail headline the other day, which was saying, Starmer's told his friends he's going to step down. I was like, aye, come on. You know, you believe that. You know, go and tweet that out, Basil the Great. Go on. I just didn't believe it for a second. Oh, ye of little faith, as if the Starmbot is ever going to resign. As if he's ever going to resign. Willingly. The Starmbot is not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And that is what we're going to be talking about for the second week in a row. Because the big news was, the big thing that's happened since last week's show is that Wes Streeting resigned from the cabinet and therefore triggered a leadership bid, as well as the fact that Andy Burnham has found a little by-election seat to sneak into. So it looks like it's going to be Streeting versus Burnham versus the Starmbot. But Starmer is still refusing to go. And that is the thing that we love here. That is the thing that we love. Not a single step back for the Starmbot. All salute the Starmbot. He's a boss. Admit it. He's an absolute boss. He just refuses. It doesn't matter what anyone says, the iron fist of Starmer crushes through. Well, before we get going here, as people are trickling in, I will remind people there is a sale on, the spring sale at the Academic Agency. It's promo code COOL. I will try to light my Saint Louis Ray Regios cigar today as this is going, and then we will sink in and watch some of the carnage, some of the absolute carnage, nothing but carnage in the Labour Party as we Chill out and ride the tiger. Also, if you're not watching Academic Agent Gaming, you should check it out. We've just started the Mount Rushmore. We did games developers, the four greatest games developers of all time. We just did that. Good few of you watched it already, but check that out as well. All right, let's watch the ad. Everybody wants to be cool. Like this guy. This guy is cool. Do you know who else is cool? People who do courses at the academic agency. And you too can be cool by getting a course today with promo code COOL, which gets you 25% off all courses today. Promo code COOL. I'm pretty sure Keir Starmer's done the Trivium. Although he's not the best ad for Foundations of Rhetoric, to be fair. But anyway, let us have a look at how this unfurled. In order to do this, we're going to have to go back in time to the resignation of Wes Streeting and how this was hyped up, how then the media were claiming that Starmer's going to go, and here we are on Tuesday, the 19th of May, and he's still there. He's still there. Egg on the face yet again for every slot merchant, every journalist, every media outlet who's trying to wish cast Starmer to go. Anyway, here's what triggered all this off, which was Wes Street. After Starmer refused to go last Tuesday, on the Wednesday, Streeting resigned from government.
Hutton, former defence secretary under Blair Brown years, you know him well, he said, if a leftist candidate wins any leadership campaign, if there is one, and has a really different prospectus than the manifesto in 2024, there needs to be a general election. Is he right?
Well, look, I think within the manifesto that was elected in 24, there's a wide range of interpretation. So, you know, my view of this is actually, if we had the debate, you will see that contained within that manifesto are the seeds of what could be quite a radical programme. And in fact, actually, Keir Starmer now is talking about
Sorry, leftists, and sorry, John McDonald, but do you remember when you were defeated, John McDonald's, you and Jeremy Corbyn, in 2019, the nation was given a radical manifesto and the nation said, no, we want Bojo instead. Now, you've got to love democracy or hate democracy. You did lose. Did you remember then when Keir Starmer came in and purged all of your mates? And then when he won the election? I mean, you've got to take those things into account, no? Did that not happen? Is Wes Streeting and the Blairites not correct? I mean, it was Starmer who won the election, not Corbyn and McDonnell. So, you know, that happened.
Relatively radical element. For example, nationalising steel. Whoever thought Keir Starmer would ever do that? There's a big debate about where
There's a guy called Caligula in chat saying Osman Gold is much better than you think. Caligula, you have been banned, sir. Talking this rubbish. Yeah. You know, you haven't researched this, Mario. You don't really understand him. Fuck off. Get out of here. Go on. Bugger off and go and watch Osman Gold. I don't want you here. Get out of here. Right, let's carry on.
Are you and Jeremy Corbyn?
Yeah, exactly. But there's a big debate, for example, on water. Do we regulate or do we bring it into public ownership? So within that manifesto, you can see a broad range of policies that can be brought out by a range of candidates, left, right and centre. Let's just have the debate.
Shall I tell you something, Sheila? I think that there will be more and more speculation about. I mean, it is that line where he says that the...
Look, it's no point saying, right, it's no point saying that Corbyn got more votes than Starmer did. Because he got less votes, right? He won less seats than his opponent, which means he lost the election. You can only win the game in front of you. You've got to win by the actual rules in front of you. Okay? So it's like saying, it's like comparing a 1-0 win in football, which is what the Starmbot did in 2024, and saying, look, Kevin Keegan, right? He lost this game 4-3, but we scored three goals. Yeah, you still lost, though. You still, it doesn't matter if you lost in a spectacular manner or scored three or four goals doing it. You still lost. That's the bottom line. You still lost. Whereas Starmer won. So, I mean, the facts are the facts. You know, you can whine about the perversity of the system all you want. It doesn't matter. Starmer won 400-odd seats. Corbyn lost. So you've got to accept that, FDs.
A broadest range of candidates need to come forward as part of this contest. There is a world where you could see that as a direct overture to one Andy Burnham. That Wes Streeting is saying, look, we need to have as many people in this contest, in this conversation as possible. And who knows, there is just a possibility of a rapprochement and an alliance between the two men that Wes Streeting has concluded. And I don't think he'd be entirely wrong in this, that frankly, he may struggle with the membership against any opponent, in particular, even the Prime Minister, if Keir Starmer were to contest it.
John,
so this
is
could
nodding.
Be the start of
John
something. Could be the start of a beautiful friendship.
A beautiful relationship. John, you're nodding vigorously there to that suggestion.
Oh, Lewis has said this before, and I think he's right. If you look at the range of other candidates, I think Wes Streeting would struggle to get the support, certainly amongst the rank and file Labour Party members. And he's
so the basic problem is, to cut a long story short, to quote Spando Ballet, OK? The basic problem is this, and it's the basic problem that Starmer himself has faced. The Labour Party is full of lefties. It's full of fucking leftists, okay? Whereas the government of the United Kingdom must be run by hateful globalists by order of the Dark Lords, whoever they may be, including the Dark Lord himself. Wes Streeting is an agent of the Dark Lords, okay? Leftists like Andy Burnham are not. The rank and file members of the Labour Party don't want Dark Lord friendly candidates. They want leftist wankers instead. The powers that be don't want leftist wankers. They want Dark Lords. So you see the problem. Power wants Wes Streeting. Power wants Keir Starmer. Power ultimately wants the thousand-year Blair Reich. But leftists want communism. Herein lies the problem.
Amongst the trade union affiliates as well. And I think he realises that. And there's a range of other candidates. Lewis mentioned I heard you say the other day, Lewis, about if Ed Miliband ran, I think he would beat Wes Streeting. Definitely. So there's a range of, I'm not promoting anyone. I'm just saying, if Wes Streeting is now agreeing with me that we need an election, John, with a range of candidates, John, well, I've always believed in the powers of conversion.
Unity in the Labour Party.
Hang on, John, you've always reminded me of a good Scouse Catholic priest. One day I'll probably just rock up and ask you to hear my confession. But today you're reminding me of a cardinal at a conclave. Of course you've decided which kind of candidate.
Only in the world of Sheila Fogarty does John McDonnell remind anybody of a Catholic priest. Well, I suppose he is an old-fashioned socialist, so maybe she's right.
Candidate you want?
Well, I'll always want the socialist candidate. Of course, okay. I will. That's my background and all the rest of it. And don't expect abstinence from me, Sheila. By the way, the key for me is. You know how things can tear apart. I said before the last election, I was really worried about the future, not just of the government, but of the party itself. And those elections gave us all a fright.
John McDonald is not Dark Lord friendly, by the way. The Dark Lords don't want John McDonald. They don't want people like John McDonald getting their way in the Labour Party. They don't want commies in the Labour Party. They don't want socialism, despite what libertarians will tell you. What they want is a permanent Blairite Reich, neoliberal economics, neoconservative foreign policy, the Blairite shuffle. That is the orders. Those are the marching orders for anybody tasked with running UK PLC. Okay, let me just give it to you straight, like a pear cider made from 100% pears. In the current range of options, the Starmer has been doing that. If he's going to be replaced, they would prefer Wes Streeting because he's another one of them. They do not want Andy Burnham. They do not want leftists. What do we want? Frankly, it doesn't matter. frankly, it doesn't matter. So you might as well watch it like watching a soap opera or watching entertainment. Frankly, it does not matter.
It's a real shock of what could happen, how the form and others could really take us apart if we're not careful. So my view is, look, I still believe, from my perspective, the Labour Party is the best vehicle we've got to achieve my objectives, which is socialism. So therefore, I want to hold the party together.
Yes, I accept that in 2019, I should have supported Corbyn and I shouldn't have supported Bojo. Okay, I admit, I hold my hand up. We all get a few calls wrong once in a while. But you've got to remember that in 2019, I was convinced of the efficacy of the free market. And I believe that Bojo would get us closer to that ideal than the Corbyn. I have changed my view since then. And frankly, it would have been fun to watch Corbyn go to war with the bankers. The bankers, the bonuses, the bankers, the bonuses.
The way to do that is to ensure everyone has their say, everyone has the right to a vote, everyone has the right to stand as a candidate. It's as simple as that.
A few things, Sheila, I just wanted to add. Hearing from people within Number 10, now we haven't got a formal comment from them on Mr. Strooting's departure yet, but someone has said they believe that this is because he can't launch himself, because they just don't believe that he has the numbers. Now, they have been saying that all along, that they don't believe that he has enough support to formally launch that leadership challenge. Secondly, you heard from Luke Akers this morning on...
Kind of like Natasha Clarke. She's a bit of all right, isn't she? Hello, Natasha.
Nick Ferrari's show. I thought he really summed up for me the reason why we're in this total stalemate. He is someone that is usually allied with Wes Streeting. He's a friend of his. He is on the probably sort of the right, I guess, of the Labour Party. And he is saying, I want to back the Prime Minister. I don't want to plunge the country into a leadership crisis.
The split
right
on
now.
The right, definitely.
Exactly, exactly, John. Mm. So I think that is the problem that Wes Streeting is clearly having in the last sort of 24 hours. And I spoke to one source in government that said that they were seeing...
A lot of pro Natasha sentiment in the chat. A lot of pro Natasha sentiment in the chat. Hmm. What's her name? Natasha Clarke. Hmm. Of course, they're all Clarks by the time I finish with them. Yeah.
Cabinet ministers having conversations with MPs, and they said, we've turned a few around just because from Wes Streeting's camp in the last few hours just because of that. So I think that's a really big thing playing in Wes Streeting supporters' minds, that it just cannot get enough people to go behind
him. And a poll earlier today that I saw just before I came on air of leadership voting intentions does not favour Wes Streeting at all, does it?
No, it doesn't. If you're referring to the Servation poll, which has been published in the last... with
Let me tell you some other problems that Wes Streeting has, other than the fact that he has politics that nobody in the country actually wants, left or right, because he represents, you know, the globalist neoliberal centre. Why else does Wes Streeting, what else has he got not going for him? One of his problems is that he's got a wet face, right? This sounds ridiculous, but he's got a wet looking face. And I've said before, he's got that kind of mannequin look about him. And because of that kind of wet puppet look that he's got, that's going to limit his appeal. And you think these things don't matter in politics, but they absolutely do. They absolutely do matter. It's why, like, you know, Ian Duncan Smith was never going to be the Prime Minister. Or William Hague was never going to be the Prime Minister. There's just something about certain people. It's just, he's just never going to make it. Starmbot, say what you want about him, decent basic physiognomy. Whereas Wes Streeting, absolutely no chance. Same goes for Zach Polanski, I'm afraid. Same goes for Polanski. Just never going to make it, I'm afraid. So... it is where it is.
Labour list, by the way, that's been published in sort of the last hour or so. It says Wes Streeting would have the backing of 23% of the membership in a leadership contest, and Starmer takes a 30-point lead, which is up 18 percentage points since February over any potential challenger. So that is absolutely stark evidence, if anybody needed any, that Wes Streeting, when it gets to the membership, is really, really going to struggle.
But enter Burnham. Let's imagine for a second that changes for Starmer, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And look, I don't think anybody quite knows the sort of 5D chess that's going on within the Labour Party. But of course, you know, the more people that enter this race, the more the vote is going to be.
Watching Natasha here reminds me that I have I've re-emerged in recent days at the Yummy Yummy Mummy Cafe. I hadn't been for months. I went in yesterday. She said, oh, we were just talking about you. I said, oh, you talk about me often, do you? She said, yeah, we haven't seen you for a long time. We were just saying, oh, where's that dude? And I was like, oh, well, now I'm back. I'll have a flat white, please. Loving it. Absolutely loving it. I had a chicken salad. I had with what type of chicken? So we had like nuts in it. It had a chicken. It had like almonds in it and pomegranates and that Persian herb called sumac. It was called sumac chicken salad. I had yesterday, and then earlier on today I had a salmon and cheese bagel. Salmon and cream bagel and a flat white. Strider is back in the Yummy Mummy Cafe, ladies and gentlemen. And seeing Natasha here, she is absolutely the source of bent who hangs out at the Yummy Mummy Cafe. Absolutely the type. Absolutely. That's why I love it.
And that's exactly what Angela Rayner is saying. I'm going to run if Wes Streeting runs, essentially, because she wants to be that sort of soft left candidate. If Andy Burnham can't be that one to do so.
And John, if people are listening to the four of us talking as we are and thinking, oh, my head hurts. No. I just want the country run left, right, centre. I put you in government. Somebody put you in government. Just get on with it. Just be pragmatic. Make life better for ordinary people, ordinary families. Get on with it. What do you say to them? Because that is not what's happening, is it?
Well, I think they're right. But what happened on the doorsteps in these elections, and I've never seen it on this scale before, was the absolute antipathy towards Keir. You can't deny that. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife.
But and people across the country loathed Tony Blair after the Iraq War. I know, he stayed in power for a long time.
Tony Blair then had to eventually go.
No, he didn't. They voted for Tony again in 2005. So that's just a bit of revisionist history. Absolute revisionism. Blair won again in 2005. And Bush won in 2004. So this is revisionism from the liberal class. They like to imagine because they went off Blair at that time, but that is not actually what happened. Value-free analysis.
Oh, he had to say...
Eventually.
He had to say, I'm leaving and this is my departure date. And in some ways, that's what some of us were saying to Keir. The best thing to do is to say that you are going and sort out a smooth transition over a period of time. In fact, remain in government until you've finished off some of the key things you wanted to do and then move on and do it in a sort of orderly way. That was one of the arguments. So I think people don't want to see parties falling apart, splitting and all the rest of it. But the message was so clear about Keir, that's why my proposal was straightforward. Let's be honest about that. Let's have a proper discussion. Plan, therefore, the process so it is under a controlled process rather than the chaotic, precipitous coup.
Don't know what it is about John McDonnell, but he looks a little bit like a politician from a comedy sketch. I don't know what it is. Do you remember that show Bremner, Bird and Fortune? He looks like a character out of Bremner, Bird and Fortune to me, McDonnell.
Two questions now, beyond the ones we've identified, Sheila, of course, about what Streeting's intentions are. I really feel quite instinctively this is, as I say, more of a Heseltine kind of thing that he's trying to do rather than launching a challenge. I think he's setting himself up as a kind of king over the water. And honestly, I think he just concluded that he was in a sort of prisoner's dilemma situation. This was the best that he could do, given that he had allowed the speculation to run.
He couldn't sit pretty in the cabinet.
I think it would have destroyed his political reputation.
He does look like Father Ted. Maybe that's what old Sheila was on about at the start, of him looking like a Catholic priest, that he looks like Father Ted. That is true.
I really do. And I think that it would have lessened him so much as a political figure, and Starmer would have been able to dispatch him in short order. Two further questions then. One, is it going to be a wider reshuffle? Obviously, Streeting's going to have to be replaced as Health Secretary. Who's going to do that? And will Starmer have enough authority to be able to do something slightly more wide-ranging?
All right, let's move on now. So that was Streeting announcing. Let's move on to a little bit further, where we discuss the front runners.
It's about how you choose who to.
Ian Dale's one of my least favourite LBC people. In my LBC rankings, Let's think now. Who's the top of the LBC rankings? Andrew Marr. Andrew Marr's the top. And the Dogface Gremlin, right, is up there as well. Dogface Gremlin and Andrew Marr are the one and two. I don't like Nick Tellity, a straight Ferrari. He is a sinister Zio. I don't like him. I don't like Ian Dale. I don't like Sheila Fogarty. Goodall is a piece of work as well. I don't mind the LBC NPC. I forget his name now. Swarbrick. He's all right, I guess. Who else is there? Ian Collins is on talk, isn't he? So he can't include him. I can't even remember any other LBCers. Anyway, let's. I don't like Ian Dale's towards the bottom. He's not my my absolute least favourite is Fogarty. I really don't like her. But Dale is down there as well. Just something smarmy about him. I don't like him. Feltz is down there as well. Haggard, witch-like, old Vanessa Feltz is down there as well.
Poll in this, because I know when Conservative Home have done similar polls, it's very easy to have sort of, well, what would now be called Reform UK voters sort of slipping into the sample here.
It is everything about Ian Dale I don't like. His kind of lavender vibe. His kind of, ooh, I'm going to watch a bit of gardening and maybe we'll have a dinner party. It's just a vague lardy-darness about him. Don't like him. It's not my cup of tea.
I mean, how sure are you that all of the people that you polled are actually Labour Party members?
So we've decided to use a trust basis. So we ran about...
Never a good idea in politics.
Well, I don't believe there are any members polling that...
Do you remember that guy who made like innuendo like jokes in the Monty Python sketch? Was it Eric Idle, you know? As the mistress said to the bishop, ha, 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 ha. Ian Dale is like the sort of person who'd make that joke in real life. You know, as the actor said to the bishop, ha, 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 ha. What a twat. I really don't like Ian Dale. What a twat.
Exists that's published where people make the members share their sure. ID cards. So we do know that the sort of people that would read Labour List online publication, they are members of the Labour Party typically, and they generally.
But I read it.
Yep. Oh, and have you told Servation that you're a Labour Party member?
No, I haven't. But I'm sure there may be people that have.
Right. So as long as there are enough people.
Why is he so sinister? Why is he so weird, Ian Dale? Do you remember in Game of Thrones there was that character Varys who was like he was a eunuch in the court? I'm going to ask my little birdies. He's also got a bit of that about him as well. Varys, like weird person, Ian Dale.
Generally telling the truth, right, and that the lies don't outweigh the truth. As with any opinion poll that's online, people generally don't have to prove that they are that thing.
So what are for example,
YouGov have a Labour member poll panel. They do that, and they don't make.
Now you've got a ton of Varys stands in the chat. I was thinking that as I said, I was like Varys was actually all right. You know, his heart was in the right place, even though he didn't have any balls.
YouGov panel members prove with their Labour Party cards that they are Labour members. And that's also a self-selecting.
Okay. Group. So what are the conclusions?
So the conclusions are, I mean, look, the too long didn't read is that Labour members are massively in favour of Andy Burnham, being the next leader of the Labour Party.
Oh, thanks. You've just taken 2 whole minutes to tell us something everybody already knows. Yeah, okay. The Labour membership are all left wing. Andy Burnham's the left wing candidate, so they want Burnham. Thanks. Thanks for your expertise. Nice one.
While only a majority of members would like to see Keir stepping down, Andy Burnham followed by Ed Miliband, then Angela Rayner, and Wes Streeting off into the distance. He's a choice of sort of single digits numbers of Labour members for being first choice.
Oh, well, thanks. I could have told you that before the show even started. Anybody with an ounce of nous knows that. This is getting my award for like the least informative, most time-wasting segment of all time. And this guy doesn't even have the strange lifestyles of the rich and famous Simon Marks. He doesn't even have that going for him. He's just a boring man. This is the worst segment in LBC history.
For the next leader of the Labour Party.
I may be wrong on this, but I seem to remember that in the beginnings of the 2015 Labour Party leadership election, Andy Burnham was also quite a way ahead on that, and we all know what happened then. I mean, do you think it's possible that these figures could change over the week?
I think there may be a disconnect between what the Labour membership wants and what the country at large wants. I think that in Labour circles, they think Andy Burnham is a crackingly popular man, okay, because they all love him. Whereas I reckon that Burnham may actually struggle to get elected because nobody out there in the country wants a kind of soft left, thick as mince doofus like Burnham. I just tell it to you straight. Nobody actually wants Burnham in the country. Only Labour weirdos want Burnham. And this is one of those disconnects in general. I think Labour people massively overrate both the popularity and appeal of Burnham and his chances, actually, in an election.
So do you think that they're so categoric that he's almost home and dry if he can win a seat?
The country does also not want Streeting. Okay, this is a value free. The country does not want Streeting. The country does not want Starmer. The country does not want Burnham. The country doesn't really want Labour. The country doesn't want left wing. What the country wants, and again, this is value free, it looks like the country wants reform. The country wants something closer to reform, unfortunately. And if given the chance, they might even go further than reform. They might go for somebody like a Rupert. But the country does not want yet another Blairite like Streeting, and it does not want left-wing lunatic like Ed Miliband or Andy Burnham. It just doesn't. That's a fact.
Well, it's a very volatile group of voters, right? So Wes Streeting, in November last year, Wes Streeting was seen as, in a head-to-head, Wes Streeting versus Keir Starmer, if there was a membership election with just those two candidates as the options, would sort of slightly beat Keir Starmer in a membership election. As Wes...
Yeah, you've got to imagine what the country wants is basically irrelevant. The British state, like the Joker in the film The Joker, will turn around to the British public and say, "You get what you fucking deserve." And it will just serve them up the same old shit again and again and again. So when Nigel turns up and you get Prime Minister Nigel, it's just going to be more of the same old shit. Same old shit. Same old shit. In fact, I'm not even sure that the British establishment will even allow Andy Burnham. That's too to the left. That's too outside of where they want. So, you know, it might just, you know, if the Starmbot fails to stick it out, it might just impose Streeting in the same way that the powers that be imposed Rishi Sunak. Nobody wanted Sunak. The Tory base, if you remember, they wanted Liz Truss. The people wanted Truss. remember? The base wanted Truss and the powers that be installed Sunak. That's actually what happened. And then they were like, right, now there's going to be a general election and you can have a piece of shit, Sunak, or an even bigger piece of shit, Starmer. Starmer won. Now we've got the even bigger piece of shit. Now it's you think they're going to allow you to pick non-shit. That's not how it works. In the shit system, you only get choices between different strains of shit. They're not going to allow anything else. Just this where it is.
As his ambition has grown to the current day, his popularity with Labour members has decreased as he's sort of seen as being a sort of a plotter, being disloyal. Labour Party members are quite keen.
And in a way, people who are into politics are just a little bit like the libertines in the Pasolini film Salò, where they're simply sampling different pieces of shit and being like, ooh, I quite like the corny grains in this one, or ooh, this one's a bit runny for me. That's basically your choice if you stay within the electoral frame, for this is democracy. I hope you're enjoying it, democracy enjoyers.
Sort of loyalty and not plotting. I think Andy Burnham has also had a knock in his favorability in our polling since last year, but he's starting from a much higher base. He was something like an 85% positive favorability with Labour members at some point last year. And as he sort of started making shapes around the time of the Labour Party conference, Labour members didn't like that very much, but he's now sort of a mere kind of plus 55%.
Right, this guy is at his chips. He's so boring, that guy, that he's been, we're moving on. So next we get Andrew Marr from a couple of days ago talking about how the Starmbot hates Streeting and hates Burnham. Base Starmer.
Mr. Marr.
We meet again, Sheila.
And there's been a development.
Drake the Snake says, Ahay has no idea what he's talking about. Well, I tell you what, Drake the Snake, why don't you come on here and tell us what? Why don't you, Drake the Snake, come on here and present the show instead? Go on, tell me what your name is, tell me what your thing is. I'll send you the link. You can do the show from here on out, and we will see who knows what. We will see if your analysis ends up being better than mine. How about that, Drake the Snake? Come in.
A couple of big developments,
yeah,
really. If you add Angela Rayner in this, and this, I think a very, very well written, very, very interesting resignation letter. I was listening to Natasha there say, you know, why did he not say, I'm going for it now? Two possible reasons. There aren't the numbers there, though he says there are. I think more interesting, I think the two significant sentences are the one about him wanting a broader contest of all the best candidates. That is an open hand towards Andy Burnham in particular, and the soft left in general, but also the missing sentence, the sentence Natasha was talking about.
And what's your analysis going to be? Actually, the choices are quite good, actually. I disagree with what you just said, because I don't think all the choices are really bad. I actually think you should give Andy Burnham a chance. I actually think you should give Wes Streeting a chance, that they might actually be better than Starmer, that they might actually be better than, that's not actually the way it works. Actually, really, power is bottom up. Really, it's the will of the people. Is that what you fucking want to say, mate? Let's get back to the cloud, shall we? The anger will pass. It will pass.
And therefore, I now announce my intention to challenge the Prime Minister. Because I think what he is trying to do, Wes Streeting, is open this up. I think his way to continuing as a very powerful politician, either as leader or as chancellor or whatever it might be, is to have an arrangement with Andy Burnham.
I'm not really getting baited. I'm just bored as hell of this story and, British politics in general. So I'm trying to spice things up. This is like in a Ric Flair match where he's against some humdrum home opposition. You know, he's in Kansas. He's been sent down to Kansas And his opponent tonight is Coco Beware or whatever. And he's like, what the hell am I going to do here? So, he gets out, jaws with the crowd, puts a kiss on some girl in the front row, starts a fight with some guy 3 rows back, because he's got to create something. He's got to create something to make an entertaining show, to give people their money's worth. That's what I'm trying to do here, people, because this is boring as hell, isn't it? Anyway, let's carry on.
Bring both of the wings of the Labour Party together and avoid the kind of vicious, factional, public contest that people have been feared about. John McDonnell was kind of talking about as well.
Which, I think I remember correctly, was what you were hinting yesterday should be the way forward, the meeting at the service station.
Why is Sheila Fogarty presenting every show now? She was presenting Goodall Show, and now she's presenting Ma. Well, why is Fogarty all over the shop? Go away, Fogarty. I wanted Ma here.
We're back to the Northampton service station meeting. That's exactly what that's what I think should happen. I think the really interesting thing now is what Keir Starmer does about all of this, because, I mean, he must be very, very tempted. He can't stand Wes Streeting.
Somebody's saying, look, what you mean, AA, is that you're a content creator. Well, partly, but also I have to be having fun too. I have to make my own fun sometimes, because I have to also spend this hour or 2 hours or however long it is doing this show. And it has to be entertaining for me as well. And frankly, this stuff is like pulling nails down a chalkboard. Go on, bugger off, Ma. Let's carry on with the story. Let's get the next one. Right. Wes Streeting has backed Andy Burnham for Makerfield. Now, this has been a big story this week, partly because Burnham is running in Makerfield, partly because Reform are trying to stop him. And then Restore under Rupert Lowe announced that they were going to run a candidate in Makerfield as well. Which Reform have tried to say, well, Restore doing this is going to split the vote and it's going to give Burnham the seat. Lowe is doubling down and saying, actually, we can win the seat outright. And lots of people have different takes, agreeing and disagreeing on this. Who knows? I just think that Andy Burnham might not actually win that seat, just because I just don't see a huge appetite for his style of politics in the country. But, what do I know?
President of Makerfield, and you don't much care for politics. Well, I would book an 8-week cruise about now if I were you. I hear you can get some good deals with the way things have been going. So I would do that, because you are going to be, I'm afraid, your slice of Greater Manchester is going to be inundated by the full force, never mind the media and the journalists and the vox popping and all of that, but the full...
Yeah, sometimes I have to work heel, guys. It's great to be back here on office hours. But let me tell you something, all you fat, out of shape warthogs. Anyway, let's carry on.
Party machines of the Labour Party and Reform, and to some extent the others, descending on this small bit of Greater Manchester. There will not be a door unknocked. There will not be a letterbox untouched. It is going to be a by-election for the ages, because it is true to say, Sheila, in our game, we often talk up by-elections and people often castigate us for saying, come on, it's just a by-election. They come, they go, people vote against the government and we all move on. True, fair enough, but there's never been a by-election like this one, and I think there never will be one again, because in effect, what we will be seeing with this by-election is in effect...
What are the bits of abuse I can do? I can abuse you in the style of Jeremy Kyle if you want. Look at you. Wasted on drugs. Sitting in your pants playing video games all day. Well, sort your life out, mate. You sort your life out. When are you going to pull yourself together, John? Look at her. She's crying. Why is she crying? Because you've been shagging her mother for the past 3 months. And here she is. We're going to bring her out. Come on, Valerie. Boo! Boo! Sorry, what were we doing? All right, let's carry on.
a prime ministerial election. 70,000 or so electors in Makerfield will have the chance to probably choose or veto the next prime minister for 70 million of us. Mm. It will be a circus like we've not seen.
It's you compared it yesterday, didn't you, in our conversation, to a kind of US presidential...
You're a disgrace. You're a slacker. You're a layabout. You're a parasite on society. And to make matters worse, we're going to bring out a lie detector test. Because we've just found out that your son is not your own. Isn't that right, Valerie? Boo!
Primary. Yeah. I mean, clearly we don't have that system, but it is like that. And it feels to me, given the, we're going to talk more after two of the kind of implications of a win or a loss for Burnham. It feels a bit like a kind of general election in a funny way as well, because it is going to dictate the direction of the country in a way.
Well, here's another way in which we never see anything like it, Sheila. Consider poor old Keir Starmer in Downing Street, from whom you can almost feel authority already ebbing away. For the next 8 weeks, I suspect it'll be, depends when the writ is moved, the epicentre of politics is not going to be in Westminster. It's going to be in Greater Manchester. That will be the centre of our political conversation. Mm-hmm. Because it will be so momentous what happens there.
Now, isn't West Manchester quite a hipster area? Okay, given that it's in West Manchester, like, why do Reform and Restore think they've got a chance up there? There must be a reason. I'm guessing it's another one of those seats, Makerfield, where it's split between working class communities, which will have a lot of patriots in them, and kind of latte quaffing hipsters who are going to like the likes of Andy Burnham. Now, are there students in the seat? What's the makeup of Makerfield? It's probably quite split, like the maybe like the seat that Matt Goodwin so dismally failed in.
And consider the peculiar position that he himself is in. He is the leader of the Labour Party. He has been forced into accepting and acquiescing to Burnham standing in this seat. If he hadn't done so, there would have just been an open civil war in the Labour Party.
Lucy Powell made that clear this
morning. Would have been...
People are saying it's a Brexit area. It was 95% white 5 years ago. Andy Burnham may struggle in a seat like that, you know. He may struggle in a seat like that. I mean, I know he is popular in Manchester, but in that particular seat, he might struggle.
Yeah, he would have, the cabinet would have turned against him. He knew he had no choice, not something he wanted to do. So he must now see a by-election, the like of which we've not seen before, which is where the two principal antagonist in it, the Labour Party.
I love the guy in the chat who says Starmer has creative control like Hogan in WCW. Doesn't work for me, brother. Doesn't work. It's time to resign, Keir Starmer. Every single newspaper in the entire country has just announced that you're going to resign in the next couple of days. You are the least popular prime minister of all time. The people hate you. Your party hates you. Your own ministers hate you. Yeah, it doesn't work for me, brother. I'm not resigning. I'm just fucking based. So based.
And the Reform Party are in their own ways saying that a vote for me is a vote to get rid of Keir Starmer. Because Andy Burnham's political message, he won't say it explicitly, but everyone will know that he will be saying, look, I'm a sort of counter-insurgency within the Labour Party. I am the force that will depose Keir Starmer. A vote for me is not so much a vote for this government, but it's a vote for a different sort of Labour Party and a different sort of government. And Reform, meanwhile, will also be saying a vote for us will be a move to destabilise Keir Starmer and is in effect sending a message to Labour that they cannot toy with you. They cannot play their games. Give them the V sign and tell them that they cannot take you for granted. So, in effect, you will see Keir Starmer being forced, as the leader of the Labour Party, to oversee the resources and the personnel and the leafleters and the digital campaigns, all for a campaign that he knows, deep down, is designed to destroy his premiership.
And I think it's fair to say as well, is it, that there will be no new challenge emerging until after this by-election, and depending on the result of it, if Burnham were to have a stonking win, there would be no subsequent challenger.
I think this definitely quells for now. West Streeting is still talking about having the numbers. I find that odd to believe that he would, if he had the numbers, he would.
Look at all these liberal journos getting carried away with the Burnham mania. I just got this sense down deep in my bones that none of this is going to happen. None of this feels like it's going to happen at all. Feels like they're getting excited over something that's just not going to be. Why do I say that? Well, I mean, in all of this, they're counting one man out, and that is the Starmbot. They're counting out the will of Starmer, which everybody seems to keep on counting out, and yet he's still there. How many times? Oh, you must go now. Oh, this is surely the end. It's actually over for Starmer. No, it's not. He's still there now. As I was driving, where did I go the other day? It wasn't earlier today. It was like yesterday. There was a giant billboard with a. In fact, it was yesterday. I was driving back from the lodge, and on my drive back, they've got this giant billboard, right, with LBC on it. It's an LBC billboard on the M3, which I have to drive on every day. And on there, there was a massive picture of Starmer just saying, I'm not going to resign. I am not going anywhere. I will fight the next general election. And I saw it and I just chuckled to myself. I just chuckled to myself. Look at all this fucking slop. And yet he's still there.
Would be the first leadership candidate in history who thought he could win an election, but then would be waiting for someone who could almost certainly beat him to enter the race. So that seems a bit odd. But anyway, I think this definitely quells that for now. And I think, you know, my instinct is to say that whatever happens...
It's not a Masonic lodge. It's just my lodge. It's not Masonic. It's just an actual lodge. That's what it is.
In that by-election, Labour win or Labour lose, I think it will spell the end for Starmer's government one way or the other. I think if Burnham wins, he will be able to say, look, I have won. I've not just won in at a time when the Labour Party is unpopular. He'll be able to say, I've won in a seat on paper where reform should be, have it in the bag. It is a classic red wall seat. It's not even like Manchester Gorton, where he wanted to stand before more inner city, more diversity. He's very white, heavily Brexit voting, proper red wall seat. If I can win here, he will say this is proof of concept for a Burnham-led Labour Party. Yeah. I can win here, we can win anywhere, right? And so the Labour Party, honestly, from my conversations today, I think in those circumstances, such would be the relief, such would be the adulation and elation
of that. We're back in the game.
I almost think there could be a Burnham coronation. I really do. That there wouldn't even be a contest and there would be advantages.
Goodall is so excited, isn't he? He's so excited. Goodall reminds me of he's a mark. He's a politics mark is what he is. He's basically like a politics Todd Pettingale, if anybody remembers that guy.
That for the Labour Party, of course, because you wouldn't have this long drawn out period where you've got a contest.
I was thinking about that last night, that there could be a kind of a coronation, but how does that happen? Would the cabinet, I know we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves, but how does the cabinet, would the cabinet, senior members of the cabinet, just go to Starmer and say, we've got our guy who can take us through to the next election?
I think what would happen is that there would be pressure on Starmer to resign from within the cabinet, the PRP, and it would be.
I mean, is Andy Burnham, like, isn't Andy Burnham just another, like, oh, you know, diversity is our strength, we're all really against racism, blah, blah, blah style left-wing Labour? I think he is, you know. I mean, is that really going to win in the Red Wall in 2026?
Understood that there would be no one else would contest it. The MPs would elect him unopposed. That happened with Gordon Brown in 2007. So there is, and he would just automatically be elected leader unopposed. But that's the scenario one for Starmer. And I suppose the best case for that would be that Starmer says during the leadership campaign or during the by election campaign, I'll give you a job in the cabinet. And that gives Burnham a bit of a decision to make. Do I say I'll accept it? Do I not say? And, you know, would I launch a leadership election on day one? Whatever. But anyway, that's difficult. Scenario two, I think, is equally as difficult for Keir Starmer, which is that Burnham loses. And Burnham loses, and that sets off an emotional cascade within the Labour Party, a true crisis, because you've got all those Labour MPs on the...
Why? No, it doesn't. It just takes Burnham off the map. And the start and Chad Starmer's like, I told you, this guy's nothing. The Labour Party is nothing without me. I delivered the massive win. I shall take us into the next election. Why would Burnham losing set off a problem for Starmer? It wouldn't.
Thinking, oh my God, if Burnham can't win there when he is popular and when he's got a different brand of politics, and if he, even he can't win, there's no way I can win, and there's no way we can win. And I think that will set off a crisis within the Labour Party, which probably leads to a leadership election.
Absolutely delusional. No, it won't. Starmer will be laughing all the way to the bank. Delusional. Goodall is delusional.
Quite soon, and it will be messy, and it will be bloody, and it will be with the candidates they've got in Parliament, you know, the Ed Miliband, the Angela Rayners, the Wes Streetings and so on, and who knows, maybe even Starmer himself.
Well, let's talk. As things stand, it's Starmer, apologies, it's Andy Burnham, right, yeah, is the guy. Let's talk about who he is politically within the Labour Party, and then some of the factions that will be looking at him and saying, yes, go on, Andy, and others who will be going, absolutely not.
Well, look, Andy Burnham is someone who has been around politics for a long time. You know, he was a special advisor to Tessa Jowell, the late Culture Secretary in the Blair government.
Have you ever seen Goodall more excited? He can barely contain himself.
Became a cabinet minister himself during the Brown government. He was health secretary at the fag end of the Brown government. He stood, of course, for leader in 2010, stood for leader in 2015, and it ought to have been his in 2015. He screwed it up. He did screw it up. He made a series of decisions which need not detain us that helped facilitate Jeremy Corbyn's ascension. He then served in the...
Are you his boyfriend? I think Lewis Goodall may have like a man crush on Andy Burnham. He really seems to love him.
He shadow cabinet of Jeremy Corbyn. And when the mayoralties were created, this was a George Osborne idea, that came along, and he saw an opportunity to sort of reinvent himself a little bit. And he became mayor of Greater Manchester, and he's considered to have done a good job. You know, Manchester is a real success story. You know, in an otherwise pretty poor economic performance for the UK, Manchester, Greater Manchester, for all sorts of reasons, is a real bright spot. Burnham has got his own part to play, and that does precede him, it has to be said, but he's part of that. I think it's fair to say that...
Wasn't it just the government saying, look, we need something in Manchester, let's stick the BBC up there? It was just the government. It was just the government saying, yeah, Manchester's been a shithole for a while, we're going to bring it up. We're going to make Manchester hip and happening, stick the BBC up there, give it a media centre, we're going to make Manchester a thing. That was a government project. It wasn't anything to do with fucking Andy Burnham.
You would say that he was on the sort of... Some people say he's a bit of a chameleon. You know, they say he used to be a real Blairite. Now he's more on the sort of soft left of the Labour Party. And I think it's true. He would always say he was always more on the left of New Labour than New Labour. And I think it's probably true to say that, like some other political figures, he's moved a bit to the left over time. He's certainly someone who in Greater Manchester has been interested in the idea of a more interventionist state, a more activist.
I will say that Manchester's been sufficiently up and coming that when me and the missus... I was trying to explain to, I was saying something to, you know, my daughter who's six. And I said, oh, well, the biggest city in Britain is London. But then after that, the number two city is a place called Birmingham. And the missus came in and said, is it Birmingham or is it Manchester now? And we had to look it up. It's still Birmingham. But because Manchester's been kind of on the up for a while, in the perception of a lot of people, Manchester's become the number two city.
State. And he spelled out some ideas, including things like a wealth tax and so on, which are definitely on the left. He gets criticism, I think, sometimes, I think a bit unfairly. People sometimes say, oh, he's really different to how he used to be. He's got really different beliefs. I think kind of the rejoinder to that is to say, well, aren't you allowed to grow as a politician? I mean, yeah, he probably does believe some different things than he did 20 years ago.
All right. So, I mean, are they going to get on to anyone else, or is this just... Goodall's love letter to Burnham. Get on with it.
But don't you? And some people say, well, he was a bad politician. He lost the leadership twice. But again, are you better in your job than you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago? You'd hope so. Look, yeah, well, not always. But, you know, so this is, I think at the moment, his great advantage, the point of comparison I'd make, Sheila, is in a way what he is at the moment. He's almost the Labour Party's Boris Johnson. If you remember the circumstances...
I mean, Manchester seems like it's got more... cultural chops. You know, I think of Morrissey, I think of the Smiths, I think of the whole Manchester scene and Stone Roses and Oasis, and I just think of music when I think of Manchester. Whereas when I think of Birmingham, other than canals and like soot from the 19th century, I then think like canals, soot from the 19th century, and tons of Indians. That's all I can think of. I just think of Indians now when I think of Birmingham. Where when I think of Manchester, I mainly think of music. Is that fair? I think that's fair. Your music, shite. It keeps me up all night, up all night.
That Boris Johnson became Prime Minister in 2019. It was always used to be said that Boris Johnson would never be leader of the Conservative Party because there were too many people in the Tory party who didn't like him.
And football, of course, Manchester United and Manchester City. I saw that Guardiola's off. Guardiola's off. I saw that. Just as the special one, my one of the absolute stone cold AA heroes, Jose Mourinho, is back. I love him so much. I might even make a video on academic agent culture. I haven't uploaded to that in a while. I might make a special Mourinho video. Remember I made the Marco Pierre White one? Mourinho is so cool. So many of his old interviews and stuff, so many moments. Just a phenomenal showman and great character. Genuinely a Ric Flair level talent is Mourinho. Love him.
Didn't rate him. Similar sort of vibe to some extent with Andy Burnham, but the circumstances around Johnson's elevation in 19 would be similar to now. Basically, the Tory party then was desperate, and it was afraid.
And it had a performer.
Because it had just come fifth in the European elections of 2019, the dog days of Theresa May's premiership, and the Conservative Party starts to worry that they would actually be destroyed. And they turn to Johnson as the king over the water, someone who could genuinely say that...
Yeah, this is this analogy doesn't work, though, because Burnham is not Bojo. Right? The left can jizz all over Burnham as much as they want. He's not Bojo. Bojo was on TV for 20 years. Bojo was larger than life. Bojo did weird things like, you know, zip wired with a little Union Jack on that little zip line and rugby tackled small Chinese boys and shit like that. He was a character. You know, he turned out to be a charlatan, a liar, and one of the greatest betrayers the country's ever known. But he had popular appeal. I don't think anybody outside of this little bubble here knows who the hell Andy Burnham is.
They were going to do something new because they'd not been in that government for a while. And Andy Burnham is like that plus, 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 because he's not even been in Parliament during this time. And, you know, I'm speaking to people, I would say, who are on the sort of Blairite right of the party, not natural kind of sort of Burnham people, who are saying, this guy's time has come. Sometimes in politics, when you're desperate...
Well, in a coded way, Wes Streeting is doing that, isn't
possibly,
it?
Possibly. He's keeping his options open, exactly. Sometimes in politics, you know, the circumstances maketh the man, right? And circumstances sort of almost conspire to make people consider options that...
I feel like Lewis Goodall has been paid off by Big Burnham here. He just feels like a shill for Burnham. Been shilling for Burnham for literally like 20 minutes straight at this point. Right, bored of that now. Next. It's the Wicked Witch of the West herself, Vanessa Feltz. Or is she really the Witch of the East? I can't remember.
Step up and contest the Labour leadership. End the suspense now, please.
John, we need a proper contest with the best candidates on.
Just don't like the cut of... I don't like the cut of Wes Streeting's jib. He looks like a kind of gay cabaret singer from Butlins or something. I just don't like the look of him. Just doesn't look like someone who could be Prime Minister to me.
The field, and I'll be standing.
Wes Streeting says, yes, I am. Yep. Yes, I want to be the Prime Minister.
But first, I must say, I do feel sorry for Keir Starmer.
You do?
Oh, apparently, he is actually gay. He is actually gay, apparently. All right. Well, that explains a lot.
He managed to get the largest ever majority winning the election for Labour Party. I'm not a Labour Party member.
Yes.
But I think his weakness has been, it's clear that just being decent guy, decent person, is just not good enough in politics. You have to be able to talk the talk, and he took his eye off. He got involved, sidetracked with so many other issues rather than national issues.
Right.
What
do you feel he should have focused?
I bet you anything during Wes Streeting's campaign, if there is one, if he runs for... we'll have to be subjected to images of him, of Wes Streeting showing he's a good laugh by doing karaoke or something. Doing karaoke. Ugh. What happened to my lovely good vibes from last week? Just playing a character, guys. Okay. Just playing a character. I'm just trying to get through this hour. All right.
Focused on, that's question one, but question two, which I'm flinging at you in the light of the breaking news, do you think Wes Streeting is a more likely candidate to take home and domestic affairs more seriously? After all, you know, if you listen to his own attestment, he's been a magnificent health secretary. He's shortened waiting times, etc.
Well, he has that presence, I have to say. He has that presence, and hopefully, I'm waiting to hear from...
Is Vanessa on a sippy cup? Was that a little sippy cup from Vanessa there? I think it was. Why do they all have sippy cups? Why didn't they drink like normal people?
Ange, your favorite, your darling Ange, Rainer.
Yes.
I hope he will announce, but one thing is for sure.
Yes.
Andy Burnham definitely is not a prime minister material.
Why not?
He's the one who voted for Iraq war. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people got killed for no reason. He, as a health secretary, he helped to NHS for towards privatization to a degree.
Mm.
And now he will open the gate, for private medical firms to take...
Very interesting you say that, because so many people feel very favorably that he's man of the people, that he's properly left-wing, that he's got the individuals, you know, who are struggling. He has them at his heart, that he's...
So are they saying that Andy Burnham is a covert neoliberal? He's a covert one of them, is what this guy is saying. Interesting.
Practical, that I keep hearing how he involves so many people in the mayoralty in Manchester. He's very inclusive, you know. He's
one of them. He's like a Sadiq Khan type character. Makes out he's more left wing than he is, but really, he's yet another Blairite shill. That's the accusation here. Vanessa felt struggling, paddling quickly to keep the kayfabe going, but her jimmies are rustled by old Abdul here on the phone.
He's kind of a totally different operator, and people seem enthused by that.
Yes, the thing is, that's local, that's a city government, local government.
Yes.
At national level, you have to deal right across the spectrum of all different sectors and everything. It's not the same. And he's not up to be able to do that talk.
All right, Ahmed. Good to hear from you, as ever. Thank you very much for calling. All right, let's talk to Matt. Matt's in Tameside. Hello, Matt.
She didn't like that, did she? Felt she didn't like that point from our matey there.
Hi, good afternoon, Vanessa.
Good afternoon.
I'm not a Labour voter, and I never will be.
Uh-huh.
But I used to think Wes Streeting was reasonably okay until I've just watched that speech.
Because he will have felt that this speech was the absolute apotheosis of his life and career. You realise that. He will have put everything he has into that speech. So why didn't you like it? What was wrong with it for you?
Well, what you just said is a testament to the absolute lack of talent in the Labour Party.
Oh, God.
The robotic, identikit, droning, woke, progressive bingo speeches.
Based. I love this guy. If you're watching, mate, maybe he's one of the people who watches this show and has got into LBC through me. Love to think. If you're watching, John, say hello in the chat.
They churn out the same drivel repeatedly.
Do you think it's ChatGPT? Seriously, do you?
I mean, I think ChatGPT, it just looked like Keir Starmer when he was 30. It just looked like his son almost.
Well, physically, he does resemble him. That's kind of not his fault, though, but he definitely does. I know exactly what you mean. They could be the same.
No, that is a very, very, very harsh slight on the Starmbot. Starmer is much better looking than Streeting. Much better looking.
Family, they could be father and son. That's not ridiculous at all. That's quite fair, I think.
Yeah, it's just not going to work, Vanessa. Nobody's falling for this anymore. Like, President Trump's been around for a decade now. We've got a new language where people are sort of aggressive, passionate, sort of derisory, sometimes amicable. You know, this drivel, this sort of world drivel is not going to work anymore. People want actual real people with real language, and that might go down well in parts of London where they'll all be paid to applaud him.
Yes.
But in the rest of the country, they'll just think he's a drip like Keir Starmer.
On the other
hand, that's a fact. The thing is, he's got that kind of gay cabaret singer from Butlin's problem as well. And, you know, the trouble is, his opponent is going to be, it's going to be like gay Butlins versus like actual Butlins, because Reform are just Butlins all over, aren't they? It's just Butlins. Butlins versus Butlins everywhere in the country.
And if you go into the personal thing and do my father was a toolmaker, nobody can stand that either. That always seems very saccharine and sentimental and really infuriating. And nobody likes the very personal either. I mean, we all know that Wes Streeting's a young fellow, but he's survived cancer. We know that, don't we? And we've heard about that a bit. If he'd really brought that in, people would have said it was mawkish and it was, you know, it was unforgivable because it was trying to pull on the heartstrings. They wouldn't have liked that. So maybe he feels he's got to kind of give the less personal, the more kind of in inverted commas statesman-like speech.
Oh, bugger off. Right. Where's the dog-faced gremlin? I've had enough. Where's dog-faced gremlin? Here's the dog-faced gremlin.
It's after 10 is the time. I was about to make a joke about a story breaking before I got to the end of my monologue, but one has broken before I actually got to the beginning of it. Allies of Wes Streeting have confirmed to journalists, I can see this from the Huffington Post, but there's no exclusive tag on it, so I presume that others have got the...
Can you be quiet in the chat, please? The nation's number one talk radio broadcaster is speaking. Okay, he's not like you. He's considerably better than you. Okay? You might not like it, but James O'Brien's better than you. Okay? So just accept it. Sit and listen.
Got the nod as well that he will run in a future Labour leadership contest to replace Keir Starmer as Prime Minister. One telling the HuffPost UK he has the numbers and will be a candidate when there is a contest. So that's one of the known unknowns taken off the board and transformed into a known known. It was a known unknown because it was known that Wes Streeting had ambitions to be Prime Minister, but it was not known whether or not he had the numbers to mount a leadership challenge or indeed the appetite at this point. We now know that he does. So my channeling of Donald Rumsfeld so far massively overshadows my channeling of Brenda from Bristol. That's the lady who said, oh no, not another one, when told about another imminent general election. I felt a bit like Brenda from Bristol yesterday, and so did you. It was Helen from Manchester, wasn't it, who encapsulated most of our thoughts when she said, Wes, wind your neck in. And
oi, screet him. No. You need to wind your neck in. Keep your beak out.
And I don't know why I said and three times then either, but the... The pendulum, man. It's the pendulum. Nobody can have certainty at times like this because nobody knows what's going to happen next. If you could
pipe down, street in.
Sell people, you know, shares in people politically, which would you buy at the moment and which would you sell? Would you be selling Starmer and buying Burnham? Would you be hedging with Streeting? It's extraordinary, isn't it? And of course, if you could know what the future held, you could make your decision now really easily. Will Andy Burnham translate extraordinary popularity in the Northwest into comparable levels of popularity or even simply much more personal popularity than Keir Starmer across the entire country?
I can answer that question right now, James. Categorically, no. Sorry, Andy, but the truth is the truth.
What outcome renders Labour most likely to win another election?
I can answer that question right now. There isn't one. They're going to lose.
Keir Starmer
retains power. Wes Streeting achieves power. Andy Burnham nips in and wins power. Angela Rayner, still not a dark horse necessarily, but very much in the mix, and Ed Miliband. I would mention briefly, because this week's Full Disclosure is with one of my favourite comedians, not with a politician, but if you want an introduction to almost all of the possible contenders, then they've all been on Full Disclosure. They've all sat down with me for an hour. So Keir Starmer, Ed Miliband, Angela Rayner, Wes Streeting and Andy Burnham. They're the top five, right?
Do you think at Labour HQ, remember those scenes from The Thick of It? Do you think there's some like Peter Capaldi character in the background who's like, look, you've got to go an hour with a dog-faced gremlin. Go on, game face on. You've got to face this, you've got to face him for an hour. Can you imagine having that shift? Ugh.
They're the top five contenders under anybody's current reading of the situation. And they have all sat down on Full Disclosure to share a little bit more about what they are like away from the bits of their life that you won't know about or won't know so much about. Full Disclosure, if you've never listened to it, it kind of ends with people. It ends at the point where you know what happens next. It wasn't necessarily conceived like that. It's just, of course, when you're having a conversation with you, you're more interested in the things that you don't know than you are in the things that you do know.
So when he was talking to Big Ange, was it like, was she like, oh, well, you know, first there was Dave, and then there was, I think his name was Colin. Then there was, after that was Matthew. Then there was Osmond, of course. Then there was Marco. I liked him. He was from Italy. Then was Duncan, of course. Pete. He was the mechanic. Yeah, I liked him.
Which brings us back to Donald Rumsfeld. There are known knowns, known unknowns, unknown knowns, and unknown unknowns, and possibly some other permutations thereof regarding the current situation at the top of the Labour Party and the top of the country. I've got to tell you, my original intention this morning, I was preparing some comments about how selflessly Wes Streeting had acted, because it seemed to me he had concluded he didn't have the numbers to mount a leadership bid, but was so convinced that a change at the top was needed that he was prepared to become, if you like, the stalking horse and potentially the whipping boy for the party by kicking the door open.
Selfless Wes Streeting, like the like the Duke of York, who couldn't stand the country going to wreck and ruin under Henry VI. So up steps Wes Streeting to trigger the War of the Roses.
Door to a challenge, even though he wasn't poised or minded to rush through it himself. That's what I was planning to do at 10 o'clock this morning. It's a good job that the plans that I have on this programme, at least by way of the introduction, are never... they're never written down, as you know. There's today's script, if you're watching on YouTube. And
Can I just say, that is bait. That is... I love the fact that he's got nothing on his paper. That reminds me of when I do videos sometimes and I've got a piece of paper in front of me and there's nothing on it as well. I've done that many times. And sometimes I pretend to take notes and things, but there's nothing actually on there based.
Script, if you're watching on YouTube. And B, they can move on a sixpence. Sometimes I'll hear a story in the bulletin at 10 o'clock and think, oh, we should probably be talking about that instead. Such is my agility. So I was going to start, but cautiously praising Wes Streeting's selflessness and saying it's a very different act if it is undertaken in pursuit of...
You don't need notes, OK? It's a skill issue. Get good. If you need notes, get good.
Any change. It's not undertaken for reasons of personal ambition.
I do doodles. I'm not writing. I just do in doodles.
Ambition. I was having actually precisely this conversation about... 10, it's 8 minutes after 10, so about 40.
Although I did on that recent very unpopular Russia video have notes because I wanted to write down the level of Russian advancement broken down per month per square kilometre so I couldn't be picked up on any of the facts, but that didn't make any difference. That video pissed everyone off. It pissed off Ukrainians, it pissed off Russians, it pissed off Durham fans, it pissed off NATO fanboy, it just pissed everybody off. Let me give you a tip, if you do YouTube, guys. Don't tell the truth. Just pick a like a really partisan, but you know, be partisan and biased. Don't tell the truth. Otherwise everybody hates you.
15 minutes ago with our political editor Natasha Clark about whether West Streeting was doing it in some sort of selfless sense because he was so keen for change, or whether he was kicking down a door that he intended to run through himself. And since we have come on air, we have discovered that he is intending to run through it himself. We know that Andy Burnham is now hoping to be in Parliament by the time this...
On that Russia video, I was accused by lots and lots of Russia people of having sold out, working for the British state, all right. And then I was accused by a bunch of other people for being a Putin stooge, a spy, all of these other things. And literally, there was one person said, look, if I wanted BBC propaganda, I'd watch the BBC. And there was another person saying, you know, straight from the Kremlin. I was like, bloody hell, where the hell is all this coming from? Mental. 4 years of war has not exactly cooled heads on that conflict, does it?
Business begins. Again, it gets even more murky, if you like that word. I've got quite a good new catchphrase that employs the word murky that I may share with you a little later in the programme. You may have already seen it. I can't claim it as my own. Somebody else came up with it. I'll tell you what it is, but I won't tell you who I'm talking about, all right?
If you haven't seen that video, by the way, I said, look, the Russians have taken record losses so far this year and their advances have slowed. But the fact is they've already won the war, and they won it 4 years ago because they controlled 85% of the Donbass and 99% of the territories that Putin wants. So they basically won. So what Putin's trying to do is get a concession from Trump. That's basically exactly what was happening, exactly the truth. But for saying that, everybody hated me. Everybody hated me. I'm sure there were people writing to Alex and Alex at the Duran saying, don't invite their academic agent again. He works for the Home Office.
Count of murky crypto. Quite like that, don't you? Yeah. Andy Burnham is going to be given a seat, or given a chance to fight for a seat, by an MP who was heavily, heavily, heavily associated with the successful campaign of Keir Starmer to become Labour leader and subsequently Prime Minister. And he had to resign as a minister, the MP that is stepping aside, after it was reported that the think tank that he ran was sort of...
Right, James, you've taken 6 minutes. Have you said anything? God, what a dismal output from LBC today. Let's see if Andrew Marr's any better.
Are very angry with British politics at the moment. All this talk of cliques and coups and careerism is frankly disgusting to those just trying to get through the week okay. But let me make a counter-argument tonight, because the crisis in Number 10, including the resignation of Wes Streeting...
Does anybody really care, though? I don't get the impression that people are out there fuming about all of this. It's just everybody just rolls their eyes and being like, oh, there's that bunch of wankers at it again. Are people really out there furious and fuming? I don't think they are. I don't get that impression. I think there's much more of a sense of just kind of slight wariness of it all. Nothing ever changes. Just, you know, vaguely being fed up. I'm not sure if people are really like fuming and angry about all of this. And if they are, probably they're watching too much of it. You're probably too caught up in it all. That's why you need to ride the tiger, guys. Watch my Ride the Tiger videos. Do something else. I went to Wisley Gardens on Sunday. Lovely place. And I bought a little black pot in the garden centre there to put some decorational wheat sheet. What do you call it? A sheaf of wheat. I've got two sheafs of wheat that I've put in a little black pot in the lodge here. kind of like the look of wheat. Kind of makes me think of abundance. So I've put a kind of looks silly now I've got it here, but I kind of like it. That's the sort of thing the missus wouldn't have at home, obviously. But that's the joy of having a lodge. You can just do what you want with it. So if I want a wheat sheaf here, I've got one.
Last week was not made in Westminster. It was driven democratically by the votes of millions of people up and down the country who expressed their anger by putting their crosses against anti-Labour candidates. What then happened was the reaction by Labour politicians to that. And now in Makerfield we have the next episode. No by-election in British history has been as important as this one. If Andy Burnham wins it, he will transform the political mood as well, probably, as propelling himself into...
Wheat is not left-wing coded. Wheat is not left-wing coded. I would say wheat is sensible. Centred, even. Stable.
The premiership. On the numbers we can see from earlier in the month, Makerfield should go easily to reform. If Burnham can stop that, offering a more convincing version of social democracy, he cancels the general impression.
Do you remember when Theresa May went on that talk show, and they said, "Oh, do you ever have any naughty fantasies or anything like that?" Quite why they asked Theresa May that, I don't know. And she kind of did this little autistic giggle, and she said, "Sometimes I imagine myself in a field of wheat." I wish I was making that up, but I'm not. It was hilarious.
...that Nigel Farage is marching inexorably to power at the next election. But if he loses, there will be absolute chaos.
Somebody should... Do you remember that sequence in Gladiator, the original Gladiator film with Russell Crowe, where he keeps on having that flashback of himself in the field and his hand is going... Like, he keeps on seeing that hand going over the wheat field. That was Theresa May. Theresa May's hand in the field of wheat.
Westminster, and the further decline of Labour as a national party will be accelerated. It really is all or nothing. It really is a massive roll of the dice. But again, let us celebrate the fact that the choice will not be in the hands of Westminster bag carriers or party apparatchiks or MPs or...
The irony is, of course, I'm not eating much wheat at the moment. I'm not meant to eat. I'm not meant to eat much bread or wheat. It doesn't agree with me, sadly.
Pollsters or journalists, but in the hands of ordinary voters. Here is Andy Burnham this afternoon.
Do you want Makerfield and the North to stay on the same path it's been for the last 40 years? Or do...
Why does he look like he's on Catchphrase? Look at the set, it's Catchphrase. Remember that? With Roy Walker? Looks like Catchphrase. Pretty sure the set of Catchphrase had those diagonal lines coming down. Go on, Andy, say what you see. Say what you see. Right! Do you remember? Right! Roy Walker, that was. Surprisingly, quite a good comedian in his day, Roy Walker. If you ever watched 70s comedy, before he was doing Catchphrase, Roy Walker was a comedian. And he had a couple of jokes. What's Mr. Chips doing then?
Do you want a new path which brings the country back together and makes it work for everyone? I know why I'm standing. I know what I'm offering. I know what my party has offered in the past has simply not been good enough. The loss of faith of voters across the North, so many of whom once saw us as their natural party, is our fault and nobody else's. I want to help fix that, and I hope people will give me the chance to make that case.
And what, in all of this, of the Prime Minister himself? He said today he's giving 100% support in the by-election and he will not set a timetable for his own departure. Well, maybe that will hold, maybe it won't.
God, despite my antics, I've been working my arse off trying to make this entertaining, but it's still so fucking dull. Let's just see what Mar has to say and then we'll do our super chats and get out of here. Come on, guys.
Other than simply lurking in Downing Street waiting for events to unfold, perhaps Keir Starmer ought to get ahead of them. It has been suggested that he lists his immediate priorities, getting the Hillsborough law, say, and delivering the investment he's promised in defence, striking a new agreement at the European summit in the summer. Now, if he announced his departure, but said he needed to do those things first as his legacy, I think the Parliamentary Labour Party would rally behind him, and he could even leave on a bit.
Oh, right, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Holy shit, I should have done try. I was thinking, shall I do Starmer? Or shall I do Trump and his visit to China? Oh, Gordon Bennett. Stop that infernal tweeting. You're giving the master a headache. Anyway, let us have a look then at the super chats. Candy Spudica says, if the Starm bot does fall on his sword or is booted, who is the more favourable choice to replace him? I don't see any positives from it. Well, according to LBC, it's Andy Burnham. I don't see Burnham mania at all myself, but I think Starmbot will stay personally. But you know, what do I know? Chris Primer says, "Give us slop. Let's rewind a decade and talk about Jeremy Hambill, aka the Quarter Pounder, being a cancel pig instead. He's sloppiest adjacent for sure." Are you talking about the quartering there? Is that the quartering? Moderate message says, hey, didn't the quartering do, like, I'm kind of ignoring everything at the moment to, you know, nostalgia posts and things like that, but I do follow Dankula. I'm a mutual with Dankula on Twitter, and I saw that, like, that quartering guy deleted all the, like, the Dankula did a show with him, and suddenly he deleted the entire show from nowhere without telling anybody. Is that true? I don't know. There's always some drama with that guy, isn't there? Moderate message says, AOC, aka APAC Cortez, is splitting the left in the USA. What a surprise. Big Hoth 98 says, to be fair, there is a way to be economically radical in a centrist clothing. The real people hate the smelly leftist is cultural. That is correct. That is correct. That is correct. Moderate message says Milei was ordered by the Zionists to embarrass Starmer. Yeah, the Zionists want Starmbot gone, as I've said. AJ says, I think Starmbot is setting a trap for Burnham, expecting him to lose. It is notable the MP standing down is on paper a Starmer ally. Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that, AJ. I think that the Starmbot, everybody counts him out. I think he's setting Burnham up to fail. And that's where I thought Goodall's analysis was wrong. If Burnham loses, he's out. He's out, basically, and Starmbot wins again. Sonata says, I demand to be heard. We have things to discuss. What do you want to discuss, Sonata? Kane Whitehead says, Starmer is my source for motivation. He is hated by everybody, but still keeps on going. I do not hate him. I will vote for him in 2029. Well, whatever floats your boat, Kane. He's as good as anybody else, to be honest. You know, you'll probably keep immigration down, whereas Farage will give you Farage wave. So, you know, there is that. Sonata says, I am quite willing to join if Drake the Snake has slithered away. Oh, it's too late now, Sonata. The moment's gone, mate. Christian Troy says, Comrade AA, when will you be streaming a new Crisis in the Kremlin? I haven't got time to stream games. There'll be the gaming Mount Rushmore every day. And, I mean, in theory, I'm going to be playing Knights of the Old Republic soon. Not streaming it, but just trying to, like, play it through to re-jog my memory. I want to play Mass Effect as well and a couple of other premier noughties titles that I've got very hazy memories of. We forget that the mid-2000s was 20-odd years ago now. And because I was in my 20s then, I don't really have nostalgia. I don't have nostalgia for Knights of the Old Republic or Mass Effect. In my mind, they're still new games, even though it was 20-odd years ago, right? So I haven't really gone back to those like I've gone back to the games of my youth so many times before. No, I'll always go back to Mega Man and Mario and ZX Spectrum stuff because that's when I was a kid. But when you're 23 or something playing Mass Effect, you know, you don't have nostalgia for that. It's just another game. So, yeah, that's why I'm doing that. I want to give a fair shake to Knights of the Old Republic. You know, and now I'm up against two things because I need to see if it gets on the RPG series Mount Rushmore as well. I mean, Baldur's Gate and Elder Scrolls are locks for that, but the other two slots are all to play for, I'd say, for the RPG Mount Rushmore. Baldur's Gate is a lock. Elder Scrolls is a lock. Could be Ultima, could be Wizardry, could be Knights of the Old Republic, could be Fallout. To be honest, I mean, Fallout's probably an odds-on favourite. I'd like to play New Vegas again as well if I get a chance. Trouble is, all these games are so long. You can't just like have a little play of New Vegas. It's like 50 hours or something, you know? In my mind, Fallout's probably on the Rushmore. But Knights of the Old Republic's got a shout for that fourth slot. It's up against Wizardry. It's up against Ultima. It's up against Final Fantasy, I guess. Yeah. To be honest, it's up against Pathfinder. I mean, that Wrath of the Righteous game is pretty fucking good, to be honest. So, you know. Let's carry on. Anti-slop Dengism says, Burnham has agreed to Reeves' fiscal rules and is a Labour Friends of Israel member. Him versus Streeting is kayfabe. Only matters for job-seeking Fabians. That is a very good point, and that point made by Abdul in the conversation to Witch Felt seems like it was correct. Andrew C. says, did you ever play Nightmare Amiga? It was a decent for a TV tie-in. No, I didn't. I never played that one. I never played that Nightmare. Although I loved the show. And me and Horace did a show. I think that was the first time Horace ever came on the channel. We covered Nightmare. Enter, stranger. Caution, team! I will tell you three riddles. And then you know, it'd be like what is white and black but red all over? Is this a newspaper? Truth accepted. Well done, team. You just have to get one more right and you'll be able to go through the chamber. Brilliant show. Absolutely brilliant show. Sam153 says, I cannot wait for the 2000s in the game series. 1999 has to be Roller Coaster Tycoon. Roller Coaster Tycoon has got a shot of being a runner-up. Unless it's an exceptionally weak Game of the Year, I don't think it's going to get Game of the Year because there's going to be a lot of quality titles in 1999. I mean, I haven't looked at 99 yet, but it would have to be a thin year for Roller Coaster Tycoon to win. Although I did like it. It was probably the last really, really good kind of roller coaster sim, to be honest. So it's got a shout. It'll definitely rank. It will definitely be an honorable mention or possibly even a runner-up. But I have to see what else is in the... you know, in my imagination, 99 is a stacked year. All of the years now are going to be stacked. 99, 2000 has got a shot of running 98. For best year of all time. You know, just off the top of my head, it's Baldur's Gate 2, Deus Ex, Thief 2 is around the corner. I mean, these are all-time games. So, yeah, it really depends on exactly when certain things were released, I would say. Let's see what else there is. Okay, so let's have a look at the super thanks now before we get out of here. Super thanks. Super thanks. Look. Super thanks. Okay. There's been quite a few since last week. Okay. AA, I actually sent a copy of The Populist Delusion to James O'Brien at LBC just back before Christmas. with a load of other stuff in a package for a laugh. So yes, the dog-faced gremlin probably has a copy of The Populist Delusion sitting pride of place in his top-tier bookshelf. Well, that's imagine he's read it. Imagine James O'Brien has read my book. On Deepest Lore 81, Arts and Crafts, C123, it's a very old stream from years ago, says, exquisite stream, full marks. We didn't know how good we had it at the time. Crying face. Baller on Putin's real game with Trump over Ukraine. A much hated video. A much hated video, I must say. Baller says, why do people visit this channel solely to engage in vulgar conversations and express their dissatisfaction with the content? Thanks again for all your hard work. Well, thanks a lot, Baller. That's appreciated. But underneath, there has been a reply from Mr. Balinali, too, who says, well, I suppose talking about value-free analysis and fact-to-fact does not help to establish AA's credentials. And the comments here are quite subdued compared to the usual slop. I am a great admirer of AA, all the reason more to push back at what I said at the beginning. Opinions stated as facts and vice versa, not a good move. Well, I mean, I did write down the square kilometer yardage of Russian movement in the past 5 months and benchmarked them against the same 5 months in the previous year and in the year before that and in the year before that and in the year before that. Those are facts, and it is a fact that the Russian advance has slowed. And it's also a fact that they've lost more men this year than they did last year. And it's also a fact that Vladimir Putin was open to talks for the first time in ages, and that he had talks with the Americans. And it's also true, at the time I recorded that video, that all the headlines were saying there's going to be a three-day truce. All those things are true. They're not opinions, Mr. Balinali. They're facts. Anyway, feelings don't care about facts. We've established that a long time ago. That was one thing Ben Shapiro was definitely wrong on. Cheesy Soup says, thanks. That was on last week's Deepest Lore, watching miserable Russians from the 1980s. On Ride the Tiger, using tarot for structured introspection, Dyslexic says, can we get an AA tarot-themed cards? No. I don't really like different themes. I only like Rider-Waite deck. That's the only one I like. Mr. Sentence Name on last week's Deepest Lore says, will you ever recreate your old Althusser lecture for the channel? No, I will not. Uncreative Name on Ride the Tiger, How to Live as an Aristocrat of the Soul, which was the second of my Ride the Tiger videos. There should be the third one was the tarot one. There should be a fourth one on Thursday about how to be insanely productive, how to be really, really productive so that you too can do things like write, you know, 10 books and produce over 2,000 videos and barely even break a sweat. But anyway, Uncreative Name says, on the topic of spiritual stuff, have you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes? I think it's maybe the most practical book in the Bible. Well, I have read it at some point, but I have no memory of it. So maybe I'll look it over, Uncreative. Ken Sal Culture says, when I see Tommy, I see loads of money's coked up little brother. This was on yesterday's video, which was called Starkey Takes on Tommy Robinson, Academic Agent Analysis. If you think I came up with that title, you've got another thing coming. The Sloppinator gave me that one. Could you tell? Anyway, he says, when I see Tommy, I see loads of money's coked up little brother. I did watch 2 minutes of him loads of moneying it up on stage. The Walk. And a Starmer Defiant as pressure mounts after local election results. That was a video from last week. Beezer Boy says, I'm in America, so maybe I'm missing something. But what concretely is it that Starmer has done that's so unpopular with the average voter? Leftists want to get rid of him, sure. For everyone else, is this manufactured outrage? There were three girls who were stabbed by a choir boy from Wales, if you remember that, called Alex Ramadanawanawanawanawana, or AR, as the media started calling him. Do you remember the Welsh choir boy? And when locals were very upset about this, and when people thought that justice was not going to be done, they got a bit testy and kicked over a few bins. And Keir Starmer, rather than hearing their concerns, and rather listening to the concerns of the public over the stabbings, and kind of saying, using the Tony Blair line, being like, "I hear you," and all of this sort of stuff, instead decided to call all of these people far right, and locked up all of those people who kicked over bins and so on. And from that moment on, he has been a massive enemy to right-wingers in the country. And then on top of that, he doesn't stick to any course. He keeps on U-turning all the time. He's like the worst of all worlds to all people. He's a neoliberal, so the left don't like him. He's a war hawk, so anti-war people don't like him. He's basically the worst of all worlds. Pretty much the only good thing he's done is not get us involved in the Iran war. I would argue that because of his bad messaging, that he doesn't get the credit for things that he's done, like reducing net immigration by 70%, like various other little things he's tried to do. But the fact is, everybody hates him for a combination of reasons. But the main one is still Southport, I would suggest. And I'm just checking to see if there haven't been some that are hidden, because people always complain about that. There are no hidden super thanks. I think that's it for the super chats, unless I've missed one. I think that's it for the super chats. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. It's been great. One of those weeks where not a lot's going on apart from Starmer not going, hardly news, is it? I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.